Begin the current daf, Masechtas Menachos daf Chaf Alef. Begin 11 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is we had introduced halacha from Rav relating to the halachas of our Masechta regarding Menachos, flower offerings, that whenever the Pasuk said a halacha regarding Mincha, and then repeats it again, it's Ena El Akav to tell you that that is integral. But if it doesn't repeat it, that means it's not Ma'akav. And that the Gemara asks, but there's a law of Malicha to salt a carbon, which it says it in the parasha of Mincha, and the halacha is that it's Ma'akav, even though it doesn't repeat it. So that the Gemara goes through to explain that. Now, when it discusses that halacha of salting the flour offering, so there's a brayse that teaches that what is similar to a mincha that also is going to have the halacha of being salted. However, there are two things that are not similar, where there's a discussion exactly what those two things are, but for sure one of them is dam, that blood is not salted. Now, that asks the Gemara, at the time of the mighty krol adam, how do we know salt is excluded from being salted? Because as we taught, al menchascha melech, but not al damcha, it's on the mincha, but not on the blood. So we have an exclusionary term in the pasuk that excludes blood from being salted. Ask the Gemara, halavach, but if not for that, havamina dam li boy melech, I would have said that blood needs to be salted before it's thrown onto the mizbeach, as all other sacrificial parts. But on that, as the Gemara, keeping the malchim, but once you salt the blood, nafik limitar is dam, it's removed from the qualification of being blood, and then you're not going to fulfill this rika of the dam. Because dam aziri amr b'chanin, it says dam shebishlo, regarding blood that's cooked, whether it's unconsecrated or consecrated blood, and then someone eats it, ein ayvolav, he does not violate the violation of eating the blood, because the Torah only holds a person liable on the blood that's appropriate for atonement. Now, blood of kachim, once it's cooked, it's not fit anymore for its halacha, as we're going to see, to be utilized as blood, and therefore it's removed from its qualification as blood, and therefore one doesn't violate the issur of consuming that blood. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Maziri, he says, and this is the halacha that we're asking from, dam shemilchu, so too blood that was salted, because we know there's a concept known as malich harei kirisech, salting is like boiling something, is like cooking it. So there are two in Oivrolov. One doesn't violate the consumption of the blood because it's not blood anymore. Rabbi Yehuda Didei Omer, now although Rabbi Yehuda was saying over this teaching in name is Iri, he also said his own teaching regarding cooking something of kachim, a varm shetzlon behelon, regarding limbs of a carbon that were first roasted and put on top of the mizbeach, ein behem mishum l'reich nechayich, one does not fulfill the obligation of putting a carbon on that's going to give a pleasant aroma for the shechina, because it's not going to, it's already, its aroma was already removed when it was roasted first. But one thing is that we see that blood that's salted, it's not considered blood anymore. Therefore, one doesn't violate for the consumption of eating the blood. So then how can you say without the pasuk, I would have said that you salt the blood, but then you're not, there's no more blood anymore. You're not fulfilling the obligation of throwing blood on the mizbeach. So the Gemara, no, what would you say, mishtaba mashu lo mitzvah ba'alma, that we would only put a little bit of salt inside the blood just to fulfill the commandment of salting the sacrificial parts, which according to the Havamina would have been blood too, and with that little amount of salt, it would not have removed it from the status of blood. That's what the Pasuk teaches us, that no, that even a little bit, nothing is put onto the salt, because it says al menchascha, but not al damcha. Now, Gufa, going back to this teaching that we introduced, that we asked from, the Gemara says, "Amar ze'iri amar b'chanin." It says, "Dam shebishlo, blood that's cooked, eino eivrolav. It's not blood anymore. One does not violate the violation of blood." Now, Yosef Rav of Ka'amal Lahal Hashmaiter. So Rav was sitting. He was saying over this teaching of ze'iri. Eitzvi Abaye, and Abaye asked him from the following brisa. The brisa says, "Hikva es hadam va'achle. If someone cooked the blood, then therefore it congealed, and then he ate it." Or if he melted fat, the forbidden fats, and he swallowed it, sechayv, he's liable for the isra of eating dam or chaylev. But one thing you see is that even though the blood was cooked, one is liable for dam. You see, it's still considered blood. So the Gemara Lekash is not a difficulty. Khan, Ze'iri's teaching was shehikfa ba'ur. It was congealed by heating up by fire. Khan shehikfa b'chama, the braise tuma where it was heated up and congealed by being put out in the sun. As the Gemara explains, ba'ur lehadar, when you melt something and it congeals through the fire, it never comes back to its original state of what blood originally is. So therefore, it's removed from the halacha of being blood, and that's why you're not going to be chayav according to Ze'iri. But b'chama hadar, if it was melted and congealed in the sun, then it could ultimately come back to its original viscous, liquidy state of back being blood, and therefore one is going to be liable because it's still considered blood. And that's the difference. Ziri's talking about when it was heated up in the fire. So that is the Gemara, but Bachamanami. even if it was heated in the sun. So, okay, it could come back to its original state. But lema hoyl ve'itchi itchi, you should say the halachic concept known as once it's rejected, it's rejected. For that time when it's congealed, ultimately, at that point, it's not blood. You're saying, okay, it could go back. But at that point, it wasn't. So then it should be rejected from the violation. Because the habayim in the Rabbi Yechanan, and that's from Rabbi Yechanan, following question. Dam shekarash, blood that congealed. Now the assumption of the Gemara right now is, even regular blood, unconsecrated blood. Va'achlu, and someone eats it, ma'a, what's the halacha? Amalei, Rabbi Yechanan said to him, ha'yovan itcha itcha. Once it's rejected. So you see that even though it could go back, but if it's rejected, it's not considered anymore, even if it could go back to being blood. So what's your answer that you're saying that was Bechama, and therefore you're going to be Chayiv? Who cares? You should say like Rabbi Yechanan said, ha'yov v'yitcha yitcha. So Ishtik, Sarabu was silent. So Amalei, Sabaya said to him, Dilma maybe, Vadai kan, you for sure. Over here in the Brisa, that we learned that if you congeal the blood in the sun, and that you eat it, you're going to be Chayiv, that is talking about Bechatois hachitzonius. That's regarding the Karbonos Chatos that are brought on the Arim Mizbech. And the same thing would apply to unconsecrated blood, to regular blood. Because since it's appropriate to have atonement with Karbonos with it, as we're going to see, is the Halacha Bechatois hachitzonius, so that's why, if one eats it, one's going to be liable. But Kan, over here, that Ziri said, you're not going to violate, is talking about Bechatois hapenimius. Specifically, he's talking about a specific case of the Chatois that are brought inside the Heichel, the Parm and the Sirim and the Srafim, that their blood is thrown inside by the Pareches and then they're burnt outside of the Machna. As we will explain later on, why should that be a difference to be Chayiv on Dam? Why is Abaye saying that the Brais is talking about when you Chayiv by either regular blood or Chatois HaChatzonius, even though it's congealed through the sun, because it's going to come back. Chatois HaPenimius, that's rejected already once it gets hard. And therefore, once it's rejected, so like we saw by Rabbi Yechanan, it's rejected already, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv. So Amar Rava said, Adkartan milsud Amar Rav Chisda, meaning when Abaye proposed this resolution for the question that was asked on him, so Rava said, oh, I'm recalling something that Rav Chisda had said. Rav Chisda said, Dam shekarish bechatoyis, and some Girsois add on the word hachitzainis, as we'll see that's obvious, va'achlu, if blood had congealed, regarding the blood of the outer chatois that are thrown on regular karma chatos, chatos yachid, are thrown on the outer mizbeach, va'achle, and someone eats it, chayiv is going to be liable. I mean, it's still considered blood. Why? Says Rav Chisda, v'lokach v'nasin amar achmanu. What are the terminologies the pasuk uses regarding the regular karma chatos that's on the outer mizbeach? It says he should take, he should place. Now, v'hai, bar lekicha v'nasinuhu, when blood congeals, when he has to go take the blood of the karma chatos in his hand, you could take and place congealed blood on the Adam Mizbeach, so it's still considered dam. Therefore, there's still going to be a liability. Bechatois apnimius va'achlu pater, and that's what Zeir was talking about. Says Rav Chisda, the blood of the inner chatois, if it congeals and someone eats it, he's going to be exempt. Why? Because v'tavol v'hizam rachmana, the terminology the pasuk uses regarding chatois apnimius is to dip his finger in, to spray from his finger. Now, v'haylav bar tefilah v'azohu, when blood congeals, although you could pick it up and place like it's by the Chatois HaChatzonius, you cannot dip and spray into congealed blood. That's already like more of a solid. And therefore, that answers the question. That's resolved. Yes, there is a difference. Because regarding Chatois HaChatzonius and blood of Chulin, that's where even if it congeals like we see in the Braisa, it's going to be Chayiv. But regarding what Rabbi Yechanan had said, regarding that we see Hoyl v'yitcha yitcha, that's specifically regarding Chatois HaPenimius, there it's totally rejected because it's not valid as a solid, as congealed, there has to be a liquid. Now, this was all in the opinion of Zi'iri, that Rava was explaining and resolving for him the halacha of the Braisa. But says the Gemara, Rava Dideyama, but Rava himself actually, Afilu v'chatois HaPenimius v'ach l'chayiv, he actually disagrees, and he actually holds that in the halacha of the Braisa, that even by the chatois of the inner chatois, if it congeals and someone eats it, he's going to be liable. And the reason is, he says, as far as ha'il b'kenek de'roi b'chatois ha'chatzainis, meaning, seemingly if someone eats it, the answer he gave for Zeiri should really be correct, that, like Rabbi Yechanan said, it should be rejected already. So why if someone eats it, is someone going to be chayiv? Because although you're right that the blood is not valid to be used in the avoid of the chatois ha'penimis, because you have to be able to be liquid again, it's not. But if someone eats it, he's going to be chayiv. Why? Since correlating That same type of a blood, by the outer chatoyis, someone would eat it, he'd be chayv, because by the outer chatoyis, it's actually still valid as a solid. So too, with that same svara of what's called hayil, since on the outer one it's considered something to be chayv on, the inner ones you're also going to be chayv on. And therefore, that's his explanation of the brisa, which is not like Zairi, that even by chatoyis apanimius, one would be chayv, not like way he had answered before, that, oh, panimius is when you're going to be potter, and the outer ones and chulin when you're going to be chayv. No, hayil, by all cases, you're going to be chayv. Now, Amr Papa, he says, therefore, since you, Rava, said that you say such a type of a svara logic of Hailu connect the row, since somewhere else it's appropriate, and there it's considered blood, so here also, for the liability of eating, you're also going to be chayiv. So, Damcha Moshe Karish Va'achli, says Rav Papa, the blood of a donkey, a non-kosher animal, that the blood congealed and then one ate it, even though, like we said, in other words, a non-kosher animal is not fit to be a carbon. So you could say that, okay, so the Torah would not make you liable for karas, only like we said, a blood that's fit to be brought for a carbon, even so that a donkey is not sacrificed as a carbon. That's what Rav Papa is saying based on Rav's logic. The chayiv, if someone eats the blood of that donkey that congealed, they'll be liable. Why? Chayiv b'konegdo ro b'chatoyis chatzenis. Since we find congealed blood, that one is considered valid to be brought as a carbon, as the outer chatoyis, even when it congeals. So the blood of a donkey, which is not fit as a carbon at all, and it congealed, is still, since you find such a type of a blood that congealed, that's considered ro, b'chatoyis chatzenis. So just like Rebbe said, that therefore it's going to be a liability of chatoyis apanimius, so too, with even the blood of a donkey, if one eats it in that congealed state, he'll be liable for the isser of eating blood. Continuing on the related discussion, also from Zi'iri, Amr of Gidl Amr Zi'iri, he says, Dam, blood, bein lach, bein yabish, whether it's moist or whether it's hard, chaitzitz, it's an interposition if someone has to immerse in the mikveh, in the ritual waters, where his whole body has to touch the waters. If there's blood on his body, it's considered chatzitza and it's not a valid immersion. Now, on that, Meisvei, the Gemara asks from the following brayse. So the brayse says, Hadam, blood, vadyoy, ink, vadvash, and honey, vacholv, and milk. So, yevashin, chaitzitzin. If it's hard, if it's a solid, so then it's chatzitza, it's interposition. Lachen, ene chaitzitzin. If it's moist, it's just a liquid, that's not considered chatzitza, it's not going to get in the way. So you see, that blood that's moist is not a chatzitza. How could Ziri say it is a chatzitza? So the Gemara, like, catch not a difficulty. Ha, the sarach, Ziri is talking about where that it started getting a little bit harder, and it's sticking to the person. So although it's a liquid, but it's sticking, and therefore it's going to be an interposition. Hadalei sarach, the Bryce is talking about when it didn't start hardening. So therefore when the person dips his finger in, it comes like a string, stringing off his finger, comes right off. That's where it's not going to be chatzitza. But Zi'iri is, although it's liquid, but sticky already, so that viscous liquid of blood will be considered chatzitza in the mikvah. Now the Gemara goes back to the previous daf, which we had started this whole discussion regarding the laws of the salt, which we had said that applies to a mincha and all those things similar to it, excluding the laws of the blood and wine and other things possibly. So in that pasuk was, and that's we had originally brought this because we had said that this, we thought to say that this would be a second pasuk for the laws of malicha, of salting, and therefore that shouldn't have been a question in the first place in the law of Rav, that why is it ma'akav, it only says one time. No, you have another pasuk, it says a second time. So the Gemara had said that no, that whole pasuk is not extra to say it's repeating it. It's actually teaching many qualifications in what is salted in regards to the laws of karbanos. So in that pasuk, the Gemara has timlach lamai asik, because it already says bemelach timlach, or in salt there should be salted. What's that word timlach coming to teach? So it's a Gemara like a time, like we learned in the Braisa, so you need both words. When it says in the pasuk bemelach in salt, so yochel tivaynehu, you would think tivaynehu, which the Gemara is going to explain shortly, what is that? So if we only had bemelach, you would think tivaynehu. Tamalim et timlach, that just says that it should be salted, which teaches that it's not going to be tivaynehu. Now, e timlach, had we only said the word it should be salted, yochel bemelach, you would think, okay, what should you salt it with? Even salt water, meaning brine. Tamalim bemelach, that's to say, no, with salt. It has to be salt, the granules, and not the salt water. Now, when the pasuk continues, v'li tashbis melach, which literally is translated as you should not stop the mitzvah of the salt, the way it's interpreted is, have melach she'ina she'veses, bring a type of a salt that never stops, meaning that you could always get this salt, both it's produced in the summer and in the winter. Ve'ezu, what type of salt is that? Zumelach sedaimis. This is the sedaim salt, which the sea throws the water on the shores, and then it dries up, you get that salt, which is a thin type of a salt, in contrast to the one we're going to describe now, the istarakonis, which is a thick type of salt. That's the salt that it's throughout the entire year where the constantly the water is coming up on the shore and the salt is extracted from there. Now, that continues the b'risa. Minayin shem le'motza melech sedemis. And how do you know? Let's say you cannot find the sedem salt. Shemevi melech istarakonis, that you bring this other type of a salt, which is not possible all year round because it's made, it's mined from the ground and made by people, which doesn't allow for that conditions all year to get that thick salt. How do you know that you should still use that salt? Tamalem takav, it says you should bring it near. Takav kolshu, that you should sacrifice, which is whatever type you could find, whether the sedaim type or the strakonis type. Also, the word takriv sounds like in all situations, mikol makim, from wherever it is, even if it's from out of Eretz Yisrael. Takriv, and to sacrifice, vavila b'Shabbos, you should sacrifice the salt on the carbon, even on Shabbos, and takriv vavila b'tumah, you should even do it in a state of ritual impurity, if it's a carbon tzibur, which that's telling us that the procedure of malich, of salting, is considered an avayda, and the avayda of karbanis tzibur is deicha Shabbos and tumah, like all other avaydas of the tzibur. Now the Gemara explains what we had mentioned before. My tivaynehu. What does it mean tivaynehu that we would have thought it should be had we only said b'melech and not said timlach? So Amar Rabba Bar Uli says hachakama yochel yisbeinenu. You would think that you should put in a lot of salt. Where do you see that in the word beine? Kitevin betit. The word yisbeinenu is like from the root of tevin, the amount of straw you put in to make clay, which is a lot. You would think that's how much you should put in. That's why it says timlach, that you don't have to put in so much salt. Avadam le'abayi says, Yachiv, that's the interpretation of Tiveinehu. Yizbeinanu mi'bayli. Then they should have said, Yochel yizbeinenu. Why does it say, Yochel Tiveinehu? Elam Abayi says, Yochel yasenu kebinyan. We would have thought that you should make it like a building, which is a lot of salt, meaning row upon row of bricks. Avadam le'rabbi, he says, Yachiv, that's the case, Yivanenu mi'bayli. Not Tiveinehu, it should have said, Yivanenu, which would mean from the root of building, of binyan. Elam Rava, rather Rava says, as the Gir says, Yochel Tivunehu. Not Tivunehu, as we had read it up until now with a chaylim, but rather Yochel Tivunehu. Says the Gemara, my Tivunehu. What is that we would have thought it was? Ravashi says, Yochel Yitin Baitam. You would think you put an amount of salt onto the carbon that it gives a taste. Where do you say that in Tivunehu? Kibina, from the root of Bina, like understanding in the person. That's what teaches that it should be salted, which actually the Rishonim have different interpretations. What does it mean? Like Bina, does that mean a lot or actually a little bit is enough? And then Timlach is teaching that either that you don't need so much or actually that you need more. Either one is that you would think to Vinehu that it would be like Bina, and that says Timlach. So says the Gemara, so ultimately, how do you do the salting procedure? Maybe, however, you bring the limb, the nice and love melch, you put on salt. Then you turn it over, and then you put salt in the other, and then you put it up. So you put on salt, turn it over, put on salt, and then you put up on top of the mizbech. Now, on Mabayi, it says, the same thing applies to the laws of cooking, that as we continue to Mabayi, is that you don't have to salt it that much, which would be like the interpretation of saying that you would think you actually have to put on a lot, and Timloch says you don't have to put on so much. So, Tarabon, well, then the Bryce says, the Gemara continues on Mabayi's. Melech shagabi ha'aver, the salt that's on the limb itself of the carbon, samayalin bay. There would be laws of misappropriation and one would benefit from that salt. But shagabi ha'kevesh, but if the salt's on the ramp, over shabirishesh mazbech, or it's on top of the altar, where it fell there when they were salting the limbs, because the Gemara is going to tell us later on, in three places the salt was placed, in the salt where the chamber was, and then on the ramp, and then on the altar. So on the limb itself, there's going to be melech, as we're going to shortly explain. But if the salt fell on the ramp or on the mizbech after they were salting some pieces, so that salt was already used already, that's not going to have me'ila anymore. Then in moilim bay, there's not going to be the laws of misappropriation because it's not fit anymore to be utilized in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Amar Rav Masni says in Mikra, what's the pasuk but that the salt that's on the limb itself, there is going to be me'ila? Why didn't you say it was already done? So because the pasuk says, Nicheskel v'kraftim lefnei Hashem, you should sacrifice in front of Hashem. V'shlichu ha-kahanim alei melech, and the kahanim should throw on those karbanis salt. V'helu oisam oil Hashem, and they should elevate them, bring them up as a oila to Hashem. So you see that the limb with the salt are both called the oila. And just like carbon oila has me'ila, so too the salt on it will also have the halacha of the oila, of having the law of me'ila on it. So although, again, as we said, when something's already done for the Avodah, it's already done, but here it's not because of the Melech anymore, it's just because it's actually part of the Eila, which still has Me'ila. Tanan Hasam, continue on this halacha of the melach. We learn in the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim that says regarding seven things the court stipulated, and these are two of them, ha'ala melach v'ala itzim, on the salt that is in the Beis HaMikdash, and on the firewood, which are of kachim, the law is, although generally things of kachim are forbidden for a regular person to have benefit from it because of mi'ilah, but the sages had instituted shiyu ha'kahanim no'isim behen, that the sages, that the kahanim, could have benefit from it. They're allowed to use it. Amar Shmuel, so he qualified this halacha of the Mishnah. He says, Loishanu elo, we only taught this only regarding the salting, the karbanim, for their own karbanas, meaning when they bring a karban oil and a mincha, that then they could use the salt that's in the temple treasury. Aval achila, but regarding eating, in other words, regarding the eating that they use for their own portions, for example, when a regular individual brings a karban, so the kahanim, they eat certain parts of the karban. The chaz and the sheik, when the yachid brings a chatz nasham, so regarding that, that loy, that they're not allowed to go ahead and use the salt for when they're eating those pieces of the carbon. Now, kasaga daitach, that the assumption of the Gemara was, maile karbanim. What does Shmuel mean when he says that the permissibility of the count using the salt in the Beis HaMikdash was only for their karbanim, but that was lemloyach karbanim. That meant the salt. They're allowed to salt when they're bringing a carbon. But lechel, but if, when they're coming to eat the parts of the carbon that they get from every carbon, that's forbidden. What does that mean? That's achilas kachim. That's the eating of the kachim. And that says the Gemara, but how can you say that? Hashta, if we find now, lemloyach eris kachim yavinan, the kahanim who get the hides of a carbon, like a carbon oil, they get the hide. Even to salt the hide of the kachim, we give them permission to use the salt. So the eating of the kachim, which is definitely more elevated status, it's considered kachim, it's limited to the azara. Isn't it a kosher again that for sure we would give them the salt to be able to eat their kachim? The time, like learn the brisa that nimtzas at the oimah. The brisa says it comes at as we alluded to this earlier, that b'shleishim ukaimas hamelch nesun, that there's three places where the salt that was used in the Beis HaMikdash was placed. One was belishkas hamelch. One was the chamber of the salt where it was stored. Ba'gebe kebesh on the ramp. Ubereishas hamazbech on the top of the altar. Why? So the Gemara explains belishkas hamelch in the salt chamber shasham molchin or his kachim, because that's where they would salt the hides of the kachim. That's where the Gemara's primary question is from. You see that they were able to use the salt to salt their and tan their hides, and therefore for sure we can't say that for the eating the karbanas that they weren't allowed to use the salt. Agabe kevish, the second place where the salt was placed was on the ram shasham molchin esavam, because that's where they would salt the limbs of karbanas that were being burnt in the mizbeach. And the third place, bereishas mizbeach, on the top of the altar shasham molchin akimis, because that's where they would salt the fistful of the flour offering, v'levayin and the frankincense, v'kataris and the incense, u'mechas kainim, and when the kain would bring in a dove of a mincha, u'mechas kain mashiach, or that of the chavita kain gadol, u'mechas nesacham, the flour libations, v'ayla sa'if and the ayla sa'if, the bird oila. But one thing the Gemara asks is, how can Shmuel say, as we assumed, that lachil aloi means to eat their karbanas, if to tan the hide of the that they get, they could salt from the salt to the base of Megdash, for sure, to the meat of the karbanas that they get, they could salt. Elamayla karbanim, rather says the Gemara, now what does he mean when he says for their karbanim, for their own karbanas, that it's going to be permitted that they could use the salt? It means lachilas karbanim. It actually means for the consumption of their karbanas. My lachila, and what did it mean when it said that it's forbidden when it comes to eating? It meant achil dechul, meant when they're eating unconsecrated meat, that then they can't salt that meat with the salt of the Beis HaMikdash. So on that is the Gemara, chulin, pshita, what do you mean? Regarding unconsecrated meat, obviously. My bayahasim, what is their chulin doing in the Azara? It's forbidden to bring in chulin the Azara. How could you say that they're allowed to use the salt of the Beis HaMikdash for their own, that you have to say that they can't? Obviously. Says the Gemara, no, the Chiddush is as follows, because Avagav da Amamar, although the Master said, which is a Brais and Teres Kainim, that expounds a Pasuk that says that the leftover of the carbon, so that's eaten by the Kahanim, where it says during the beginning of the Pasuk, Yechol Arnavanov. Now the end of the Pasuk says, Yechlua, they should eat it. Which the Brais there expounds, when it says in the Pasuk, with the Yechlu, they should eat it, it doesn't say Yechlu Ha, which says you should eat it. Sounds like they should eat, because it doesn't say the Hey at the end. What does that mean, you should eat? Sounds like it's not just the carbon itself. That when they're eating the carbon, they should also additionally eat with it unconsecrated meat, unconsecrated produce, and truma. Why? Because if there's not enough meat, we want that the carbon should be satiated. So therefore, eat with it chulna truma. Now, the reason for that is kadesh tein nechelas alsei, but we want that the carbon should be eaten with satiation. Now, when it says at the end of the pasuk, yechluha, they should eat it, That sounds like they should not eat chulin chum with it. That's when there's enough meat. So then don't eat chulin chum with it. That's what the chiddush is. Afilahachi, even so, even though that there are times when together with the eating of the karbanim, they should be eating chulin with it, but melech the kachim leivin lehu. We don't give them the salt of the kachim to go ahead and salt their own, although that's a halacha of a prerequisite for eating sometimes of the karbanas meat, still that's the chiddush that know that for their own private consumption of the chulin, we don't give them the salt of the karban, of the kachim, to eat with their chulin meat. Now, amalei ravin l'ravashi, and ravina said to ravashi, hachana mestaber, it's logical like the way we're saying. Because the isa gedaita kazir would entertain for you to say, like we had originally thought and we asked on that. Maile karbanim, what does it mean that Shmuel was qualifying the Mishnah in Masechet Shkalim that says that what's permitted for the Kam to use from the salt was lamloyach only to salt their karbanis when they bring a karban? So that sounds like time adas nebezin, only because the court stipulated a special permission for the Kamim. But it sounds like if the court would not have made the stipulation, it actually would be forbidden for the Kohanim to use the salt that's stored in the Beis HaMikdash for when they're bringing a carbon. That asks Ravina, Hashta, but if now, Yisrael Yavinan, for a non-Kayan, we let them use the salt of the Beis HaMikdash. Like Kohanim Yavinan, for Kohanim, you think that we're not going to let them use the salt of the Beis HaMikdash? So obviously it's not regarding their karbanas, but rather it must have been for their eating, that we're saying that even for their eating they're allowed to use it, just not for the eating of the chulin. So it's kind of like Linda Brysa. Says the Baisa Yochel, you would think, someone says, I'm taking upon myself a vow to bring a carbon mincha. You would think, Yavi Melech Metech Beis, he has to bring salt from his house. Why? Just like he has to bring the frankincense from his house, as the Pasuk says in Yerka Beis, that he puts frankincense on it, and only later does it say, that he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously, you got to bring the Levain from your house. So you would think that the salt he also has to bring from his house. Vidinhu. And logic would tell us, Nemer havi mincha behevi melech. The Torah tells you bring the flour from bringing the salt. The nemer havi mincha behevi levain. The Torah also tells you bring the flour from bringing the frankincense. So ma levain metech beise, just like the frankincense you have to bring from your own house. Af melech metech beise. So do you would think the salt has to come from your own house? Oi klach lederzu, or says the Brisa. No, maybe you'd go a different direction and you would say nemer havi mincha behevi melech. The Torah tells you bring a flour offering and you have to bring salt on it. And also the Torah tells you, you have to bring a flour offering and you have to bring firewood because the Pasuk says, Allah etzim asha Allah esh. Where do you burn the kmitza? On the wood which is on the fire. Now, therefore we can make the following comparison. Ma etzim ishal tzibur, just like the wood that has to be brought, that the claimant has to be burnt on, comes from the public fund and the person doesn't have to bring from his own house, as the Gemara later on the next daf will explain. So af melech mishal tzibur, maybe also the salt also has to be brought, also could come from the public fund and he doesn't have to bring it from his own house. So on that says the Brisa. So nira lemidaima, let's see which option it's more comparable to. Let's say dan and davar hanoig b'chalas vachem. Let's learn out something that applies to all karbanas. Min davar hanoig b'chalas vachem, to something else that also applies to all karbanas, where wood and salt apply by all karbanas. Val tachiach levana, and therefore we should say just like the firewood, it could be brought mishal tzibur. And by al tachiach levana, let us not prove from the frankincense to say you have to bring it from your own house. She'enin ha'egis b'chalas vachem. Frankincense doesn't apply to all karbanas; it's just by mincha. So therefore, we should compare it more to the firewood, and that the salt should come from the tzibur. Or says the Brisa, no, maybe go the other direction. Dan and davar haboy ma b'kliyachad, maybe learn out something that's brought in the same vessel, meaning the salt comes together with the fistful in the vessel when you're bringing it up to do the haktara, so that you bring it with the same vessel, midavar habay mabakliyachad, that you should learn that from something levain that also comes in the same vessel as the mincha, which, and therefore just like the levaina has to bring from home, so to the salt has to come from home, vayechichu etzim, and don't prove the other way from the wood, she'en boin mabakliyachad, that doesn't come with the same vessel as the carbon, so maybe you should learn from levaina and say you have to bring it from your own house. So therefore, tamalim, that's what we have to learn from a pasuk. The pasuk tells us, because we can't discern which one is the salt from the person's own or from the tzeltziba. Pasuk says bris melech elamhi, when it describes the salt, the halach, it says it's an everlasting covenant of the salt. Ulahal noemim, there's a pasuk in Meirka that talks about the lechem upon him, by the 12 showbreads on the shulchan. It says meitz b'nei Yisrael bris elam, from the Jewish people an everlasting covenant. Now malahal mishal tzibah, just like over there, that lechem upon him is brought from the funds of the tzibur of the public, because it says in the pasuk meitz b'nei Yisrael, from the entirety of the Jewish people. Avkan mishal tzibah, here also it says a bris. It's also that the salt will also be coming from the tzibur, and therefore again, if even the Yisraelim could bring the salt from the what's in the Beis HaMikdash for their carbon, for sure the Kohanim, and therefore we don't need to say that that's being permitted for the Kohanim for their carbon, this is when they're sacrificing. Rather, it must be for their consumption, and therefore what we were saying is forbidden for Achila is not their eating of a carbon, because that for sure is. Rather, it's that of the Chulin. And what we said for sure is their carbonis, but we're saying that what's permitted is even their consumption. However, on this proof of Ravina for the interpretation that we gave in the Halacha of Shmuel, Amalei Rav Mordechai LeRav Ashi says it's not definitive. And actually, maybe we would have thought to say that the carbon of a Kohen cannot take the salt for the sacrificing of his carbon. And maybe that's what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, as Shmuel's qualifying, that actually when they're sacrificing a carbon, they could use the salt. And when it says nafachila, it means even the rechila of kachem. Because he says that hachi kam Rav Shesha b'ri Davidi. This is what Rav Shesha, the son of Ravidi, had said. Loi nitzucha, we didn't need, as the Mishnah says in Shkalim, for the court to stipulate that the kahanim could even salt their carbon from hektish. That yes, we needed, that was the necessity. Even the Yisraelim that we know for sure, we would have thought that actually be kahanim not. Who'd we need this for? To say that they could even sold their own korbanos? Ella ben Bukhri, only for the opinion of ben Bukhri, who he says, as we're going to shortly see, that kahanim are not obligated in giving the machtas ha-shekel, giving the shekel for the korbanos of that year. And therefore, as the Bach adds on, to explain the Gemara, therefore, they don't have a portion in the korbanos, so they don't have a portion in the salt which is used for the korbanos either, and that's why we would have thought that the kahanim are worse than the Yisrael, as the Gemara is going to ultimately conclude this discussion, and that's why it was necessary for the sages to stipulate that they could use the salt. Does not like learn the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim. Mishnah says, Amr Bihudi says, Heid ben Bukhri b'Yavna. Ben Bukhri, that was his name, he testified in Yavna, Kol Kayin Sheshekel. Any Kayin that brings his shekel, which is his coin, to the chamber in Adar, which was the month before when they had to all collect, everyone had to give the shekel to go ahead and to chip in for the karbanos of that year. If he's coming and also putting a shekel into that chamber to give for the karbanos, he's not a sinner. Now, from the fact of saying he's not a sinner, obviously, according to Ben Bukhri, initially, he's not obligated in giving the shekel. Now, the reason for that is, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Shkalim, because the Pasuk says, who gives the machtzah shekel? It's kol ha'ir al pekudim, whoever passes through the pekudim. Now, pekudim means those who are counted. Sheva Levi wasn't counted, and therefore they're not obligated in giving the shekel towards the new karbanos. Now, although, therefore, you could say, then actually he should be a sinner, because then it's unconsecrated produce in the Azara, because your carbon, it's not a valid carbon, even so he's not a sinner, as the Gemara is going to ultimately explain. However, Amalei Rabbi Yechim Zakeh said to him, Loi, it's not true. Ki elu kol koin she'en shekel, to the contrary, any coin that does not give the shekelim for the karbanos of that year, he's a chayte, he's a sinner. Now the reason for that is, as the Gemara explains in the shekelim, because it says in the pasuk, ze yitnu, in that same pasuk, kol oivra al pekudim, it says ze, the word, it means this they should give, but the word ze is actually the numerical value of 12. The Zion is 7 and He is 5, which are the 12 tribes, which includes even Sheva Levi. Now, although it says kala over, so that the Gemara explains over there, that opinion holds, kala over means whoever went through the Yamsuf, which Sheva Levi also went, and therefore they are obligated in giving the money to the shkolim. And therefore, if he doesn't give a shekel, then he's actually a sinner. Ela shekhan dershin mikra zel atzman, it's just that the reason why they thought that they don't have to give a shkolim, because they expound the following pasuk for themselves for their own benefit. As the pasuk says in Meyikra, v'chol minchas kohen kol tia, every flower offering of a kohen has to be totally burnt on mizbeach. Lo yisoichas na lebe'in, which is the classic halacha regarding a minchas kohen, nedava of a kohen, that it has to be totally be burnt, not like a mincha b'Yisrael that just a fistful is burnt, the rest is eaten. Now the kohanim said, Hayil va'omer, since the barley offering on the second day of Pesach, v'shtei alechem, the two breads that come on Shavuos, v'lechem upon the show breads that come every single Shabbos, shalonihi, if we're going to give money, and we're considered part of the owners, so then these flour offering karbanas are also, we have a portion in it, heich nechal, and how they eaten? Doesn't the pasuk say that the mincha v'koin has to be totally burned? Yet these karbanas, we know that the rest of the flour offering is eaten, or all of the lechem upon them. Therefore they said, obviously it must be because we're not partners, we don't give the shkolim, and therefore we're exempt. But that's what Rabbi Yechim was saying, that that's not true the way they interpret it. But one thing says, the Gemara first, well, as we alluded to this question earlier, Leben Bukhri, since the truth is, as they interpret wherever their source is, that they're not obligated in bringing a shkolim, So kimaisi namechaytu. So why does Ben Bukhari say even though they're not obligated, but when they do, they're not a sinner? No, they should be considered sinners. The kumaayil chul nazar, because then you bring unconsecrated produce animals into the courtyard because they're not partners. Yet they're chipping in. So that means they own part of that animal. That part of the animal cannot be sanctified. So that's a problem. Says the Gemara, no, demaisi masalayin letzibur. No, they come and they give it over. They give over their monies to the tzibur, so it's not like they're partners, and therefore it becomes that of the Yisrael, and therefore it's okay. They're not considered a sinner. But one thing concludes the Gemara. So this, that it was explained by Rav Shisha Breda of Idi, that we didn't have to say the Mishnah in Shkolim that this halacha that kahanim are able to have benefit from the sold on the Beis HaMikdash, that was only required to say it according to Ben Bukhari. So it says the Gemara, because Solka Daitach, I mean that you would think to say according to Ben Bukhari as a Ketin Tab of Chav Bezim and Alev, Ki Zachal Rachmana, when did the Torah give a right regarding the lishka, the chamber, to salt the karbanis of every Jewish person from the kachim salt that's in the Beis HaMikdash? That was only Li Yisrael. They merit to go ahead and use the salt of the Beis HaMikdash because the Islahu Lishka, they have a portion. They gave shkolim towards the chamber, towards the money of the karbanis of that year, which is from where the salt of the Beis HaMikdash is purchased from. But the kahanim, the less lishka, but the kahanim, that they don't have any portion in those funds because they don't give shkolim according to Ben Bukhari. So therefore, Lizach L'Rachmanos, I would say the Torah does not merit them a right to take, and for them it's actually forbidden to use it for their own karbanas. Kamash Balan, that's why we needed the sage's stipulation to go ahead and allow the Kam actually to use it for their karbanas, but ultimately it rejected the proof of Ravina. Not necessarily the interpretation we gave in Allah HaShmul, but the proof he wanted to bring from the fact that you can't say that's what the Mishnah is saying, the way Shmuel is interpreting, that what's permitted for the Kam to use is for their own karbanas, because if a Yisrael could use their own karbanas for Shur Kahanim, it's not true. We would actually think, because that halacha was only said according to Ben Bukhari, who, according to him, we would think, actually, no, only Yisrael, kahanim that do not give shkalim, they don't have a portion of the lishka, they don't have a portion of the salt, which comes from that lishka, and therefore then actually would not be able to. That's why we have to say that the sages stipulated that they could use it for their karbanas, but could be, if it was that was the only proof, that actually what the halacha was being said, l'shana el karbanam, was actually for just to sacrifice their karbanas, and when we said, but for achila not, it actually could have meant, although not necessarily, but it could have meant that, but for their own eating, even of that of kachim, it would have been forbidden for them to use the salt on their karbanas.